Hello and welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. If you like the idea of sustainable weight loss that's both healthy and budget-friendly, our Nutrition for Weight Loss Foundations program is here to help you reach your health goals. With 90% of our participants experiencing weight loss, our program proves that effective long-term weight management doesn't need to be expensive or complicated. We skip the costly prepackaged meals and pills and focus on real food nutrition that's easy to incorporate into your daily routine, helping you feel energized, reducing joint pain, enhancing mental clarity, and of course, losing weight, all without straining your budget or risking your health. Whether you join us online or in person, our flexible classes are designed with your lifestyle in mind. Ready to be part of the success? Classes start the week of May 14th and spots are filling up fast. Reserve yours today at weightandwellness.com/N4WL to feel your best this summer and beyond. Thanks for tuning in to Dishing Up Nutrition and enjoy the show.
Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionists and dietitians from Nutritional Weight and Wellness. We explain the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned for practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through real food nutrition.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. I am Joanne Rideout, registered and licensed dietitian, and this morning Kate Crosby is joining me to co-host our show. Kate is a nutrition educator and nutrition counselor who educates clients at our North Oaks office. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning. You know, we've got a great topic today. We're going to talk about attention deficit disorder, now referred to as ADHD. ADHD is really now a national health crisis.
Yep.
It's often very misunderstood, but most importantly, it lacks adequate treatment.
Adequate treatment.
How about that?
That is a very interesting way of putting it. And as a parent of a child with ADHD, I understand the frustrations of this condition and also the frustration of trying to get adequate treatment, and it's so individualized for each child. It's
Absolutely. Not
just one size fits all. Before I expound on these frustrations, let's look at the prevalence of ADHD and some possible causes.
Yeah. So the Center for Disease Control, the CDC, has found that 20% of boys and 11% of girls have been diagnosed with ADHD. Now, let's just put this into perspective. My daughter teaches kindergarten. So according to these statistics, if she's got 20 young boys in her class, mm-hmm. four of them are going to have ADHD.
Yeah.
Again, 20% of boys are diagnosed with ADHD. But my guess is there are some boys who have ADHD but have never been diagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, also the findings indicate that 11% of girls are also diagnosed with ADHD, but I think that
right.
girls often slip through the cracks. So many of them are not even diagnosed, but they still struggle with their symptoms of ADHD.
Yeah, I agree. My daughter, I'll talk mm-hmm. about more about her story, but she was one of those who's kind of slipped through the cracks for a while, but
uh-huh.
then eventually was diagnosed. So what are some of the possible causes of ADHD? There seems to be a genetic connection, but there are many other factors. We also need to look at the mother's alcohol and drug abuse during pregnancy, if that
sure.
occurred,
mm-hmm.
or any birth trauma.
For sure.
That
yeah.
can affect, or head trauma, or exposure to environmental toxins and mm-hmm. diets filled with processed foods.
Oh, really?
It's interesting. We always come back to that, don't we?
Yep.
And personally, for my children, I found that eliminating those processed foods and eating the Weight and Wellness way helped them so much more than any medication we tried. And I'm going to share a little bit more of that later in the show.
Great. Yeah, that would be so important. So some of you are probably wondering, what are some of the symptoms of ADHD? Well, one symptom that you're going to probably recognize is that short attention span for the regular routine everyday tasks. Mm-hmm. So let me give you a couple examples. You know, the dirty clothes get dropped on the floor. They never quite make it to the laundry basket. That's one.
Yep.
Or mail that gets piled up for weeks until it's overflowing out of the basket where it's stored and bills are never paid.
Right.
You know, that short attention span for regular routine tasks, it's a hallmark of ADHD.
It is. It is. And many people with ADHD have organizational problems. Sometimes they over-organize, sometimes they under-organize, and usually just can't
maintain.
Keep track of it.
No. I mean, their rooms either look like a bomb hit, or they spend way too much mm-hmm. time organizing their books.
Exactly. You know? Mm-hmm.
Another symptom is procrastination. That's really a huge problem for those with ADHD. They're always going to do a simple task tomorrow.
Right.
The manana syndrome.
And they have very good intentions.
Absolutely. I'll take out the garbage tomorrow.
Right.
Ma.
Mm-hmm.
I'll finish my science project tomorrow. I remember one of my friends receiving her daughter's report card. And she noticed that her daughter had an incomplete in science.
Wow.
She asked her daughter, what's this all about? And, you know, her daughter kind of denied anything. And later the mother found out that there was a science project due. And the child had never started the project.
Mm-hmm.
Her mother had never heard about anything about a science project, which obviously had been going on for months.
Wow.
So that's that procrastination.
Yeah.
It's just a really common symptom
it
of
is.
ADHD.
Very common. Yeah, and so many problem people that have ADHD also have a problem with distractibility or inattentiveness. So these people you may think of as scattered, or maybe they call themselves a space cadet,
yep.
or inattentive, because right in the middle of you telling them about your great new job, they say, I love that handbag, is that new?
Very true.
And then there are people who never seem to finish a sentence.
Mm-hmm.
They jump from one topic to another. Their brain is just jumping all over the place. Or there are those who jump from one activity to the next and never seem to finish anything.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really hard, leading to several unfinished projects or tasks.
Yep.
Often that leads to poor self-esteem, which is sad.
And the poor self-esteem really can't be overlooked when
exactly.
we talk about ADHD. That is a
exactly.
real issue. But another symptom is that poor impulse control. And as a teacher, I could see this all the time. Many people mm-hmm. with ADHD, they often buy things that they don't need.
Right.
Or they'll say things that they later regret.
Mm-hmm.
My husband and I have a friend who's a very successful professional who would simply go buy cars and houses. And
he didn't know what else to do.
Well, he had no understanding of the consequences of his behavior. He would
wow.
overeat. He would overdrink.
Wow.
He had very poor impulse control.
That can really
now,
add up.
That's an extreme example.
That is extreme, but it can be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't change some of the things that cause ADHD. We talked about genetics and mm-hmm. alcohol or drug abuse, birth trauma, head trauma, or even exposure to environmental toxins. But we can change the food we're eating.
Mm-hmm.
We can filter the water.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So 33% of children with ADHD don't ever finish high school. Now, that's three times the national average.
That's a lot.
Okay, 33% of them don't finish high school. Another really interesting statistic is 52% of people with untreated ADHD often abuse alcohol and drugs.
Right.
They're doing that. It's their only way to try to balance their brain chemistry.
Right. They're trying to self-medicate.
Mm-hmm. ADHD yep. is really a national problem, and that's why. It's often a family problem, and it's a really frustrating personal problem for those with ADHD. Now, currently, diet change is one of the most beneficial treatments available to people with ADHD, and that's what we're going to talk about today.
That's right. So if diet change is one of the most beneficial treatments available, then why is diet change not the first treatment of choice for people with ADHD? Is it because it takes more effort than taking a pill or a medication? Or maybe it's because people still have that old belief that we only change our diets to lose weight. Whatever the reason, yeah.
Yeah, often.
Very often. Give the weight and wellness way of eating a chance. What you eat determines how well your brain functions. So you've heard us say many times on this show, what you put into your brain is what you get out of your brain. So if you're putting junk food in, that can result in a junk food brain.
Absolutely. I mean, we know that what you eat determines how well your brain functions. We see this all the time with our clients, Joanne.
Yep, we do.
Yet many adults with ADHD have really unhealthy eating habits.
Mm-hmm.
Very often they'll live on soda and pizza or chips or sugar, cookies, popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
Another symptom of people with ADHD is that they often forget to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll skip meals. They can't stay ahead of their hunger.
Or can't stay on a schedule.
No.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens in terms of food is then they grab whatever they can get their hands on when they're starving.
Right.
And that often is junk food. So then they binge on it.
That's right. So I think it's so important to understand why sugar is attractive to people with ADHD. We also need to explain a bit about how low blood sugar will set you up to continue eating that sweet, sugary junk food.
You know, when you have ADHD, your brain chemicals, those are the neurotransmitters, they're out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
And most people with ADHD just love sugar, whether it's from soda or cookies or cereal or popcorn. They just love it because sugar gives their brains a pop of dopamine, the neurotransmitter that makes you feel energized, focused, and motivated.
Mm-hmm.
And sorry, Joanne,
I think we
need to go to break. We'll come back to this. We'll probably reiterate that.
Yes.
But we need to take our first break.
Okay, you are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. Today, Kate and I are discussing how food can have a positive influence or a very negative influence on ADHD symptoms. So if you have any questions for us today, call us in the studio at 651-641-1071. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. As we mentioned earlier, 20% of boys and 11% of girls have been diagnosed with ADHD. Now, there are many different types of ADHD and many causes. Because of ongoing research, though, it's now becoming widely accepted and known that food makes a difference with your brain chemistry. So maybe it's time to change your diet to help you manage your ADHD symptoms. Clients who make this commitment to their health and follow a clean diet see great results. And you could too. So how about giving our office a call at 651-699-3438? Set up an appointment with a nutritionist. Wouldn't it be great to start feeling better? And I hope people do, because
yes,
boy, it makes a huge, huge difference.
I hope so.
You know, before we went to break, Joanne, we were talking about how people with ADHD just love sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And we were trying to explain why that is. You know, they often just can't wait to get their next fix of sugar. Why? Well, sugar gives your brain this pop of dopamine. Dopamine is that neurotransmitter mm-hmm. that makes you feel energized. It makes you feel focused mm-hmm. and motivated.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those are the things that people with ADHD are searching for.
Yep.
So when you have ADHD, you're usually low in dopamine, so that sugar becomes your drug for producing more dopamine.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is the dopamine can't get into your brain cells, especially for people with ADHD,
mm-hmm.
very well. So you need another hit of sugar and another, and all that sugar keeps your blood sugar on the blood sugar roller coaster. Your blood sugar gets really high and then it suddenly drops. And when that happens, it's a bad scene. You get really irritable, you can be really angry, anxious, and often you're hyperactive.
That's right. And so when you turn to that sugar for a solution, it only helps you a very short time. That's why balancing your blood sugar is so important. And keeping your blood sugar balanced keeps you out of that low blood sugar mode where your body is screaming for sugar. And it's just biochemistry, that strong need for sugar to help balance out your low blood sugar.
So I guess we need to talk about how do you balance that blood sugar, and we often talk about that on this radio show,
we
but it's important. Our old-time listeners know it well. We balance blood sugar by eating protein, by eating fat and carbs, well, all together every few hours. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't had your breakfast this morning, how about this idea? Why don't you cook up some eggs and butter and cook some sausage and then have a bowl of blueberries with some heavy cream? And you've got your protein with your eggs and sausage. You've got your carbohydrates with those blueberries. And your fat is from the cream and cooking your eggs and butter. Perfectly balanced.
That's right. And that sounds wonderful, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Sounds very good. So we could follow up that perfect breakfast of protein, fat, and carb with a great lunch of a nice bowl of chili for the protein and vegetable carbs, along with some sour cream on top to give you that healing fat.
Oh, boy, that sounds great.
That sounds good, too, doesn't
it? Yeah. But, Joanne, let's get back to talking about ADHD here. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your daughter?
Yes, I'd like to share that story about my daughter. She noticed such positive changes when she changed her diet. And she's now 25. She was diagnosed with ADHD in the second grade. And of course, she was recommended to start a medication right away.
Sure.
So, of course, we did. We gave it a try. She was really struggling in school. We were hoping this would help. And during her school years, she and we both struggled with the medications and the ups and downs of moods. It was a very rocky road with the meds. She had trouble sleeping. Her homework time of day was so challenging. By the end of that day, she was exhausted.
Yep.
And the meds had to start wearing off late in the day so she could sleep.
Absolutely. But then she can't focus on her homework.
But then she couldn't focus on her homework. It was such a hard, those were hard years when we were trying to just help her keep her motivated to continue through the process. And she was exhausted.
Yeah.
She couldn't find the energy to do the homework. It was a vicious cycle. And I wish I had known more back then about the power of food. I could have given her a healthy snack.
I know. But
and
at that time,
I didn't know. And also she wasn't eating a lot of great foods.
No.
You know, she would kind of pick, she had them in front of her, but she wasn't picking the right choices.
Often the medications kind of curb that appetite.
They do curb the appetite. Mm-hmm. That's right. And after high school, she was about 19 or 20. She had already given up on the medication. Clearly, that wasn't working. But she started working on eating healthier.
Hmm.
She started eating a lot more vegetables. She was influenced by a friend to go vegetarian.
So how did that work? eating a lot of rice and pasta and beans?
She was eating a lot of carbs. Was eating the vegetables. So she felt a little better because of the vegetables at first. But then, you know, because her diet was mostly carbs, she was so much more anxious. She struggled even more with concentration and focus. And she, like I said, she had stopped the meds. But after about 6 months of keeping her protein really limited, she noticed she was just hungry all the time. No matter what she ate, she was not satisfied. She started following the Weight and Wellness eating plan. And that was about the time I started working here. So I coached her through that process. And this means she had given up processed foods for the most part and then started eating more animal protein, lots of vegetable carbs, some fruit, healthy fats.
So how did that help or not? What happened
there? It did. She noticed a huge change when she changed her food. The protein and healthy fats helped her make the brain chemicals she needed. That helped her make the dopamine, which helped out her brain. You know, so
for
it was a really positive change. She actually noticed being able to focus and concentrate more. She also then, of course, she was in her early 20s.
Yeah.
She went out with friends, ate pizza, she had drank some beer, had chips or crackers. She noticed when she did that, she felt terrible the next day. Very blah. This is her own words. Very blah, lethargic. She couldn't think straight. So eventually it helped her to stay on track. She started running. She focused more on balancing her blood sugar with healthy fats, protein, and veggies. She kept up with the food plan and felt more energetic.
Wow. That's really a great story.
It really is. It was a great turnaround.
Mm-hmm. Diet can really help your symptoms of ADHD. So does she still follow this eating plan?
For the most part, she does. She does admit with her busy work schedule, she gets off track at times and really feels the brain fog coming back. But that is a good tool. She's learned to get back on track with eating when that happens to her.
And often that's what it takes. You
exactly.
fall off, you feel the consequences of it and realize the value of eating
exactly
healthy foods. You know, I know I've worked with other clients with ADHD that tell a similar story. They talk about how much they benefit from taking a supplement called DHA. It's a simple omega-3 fatty acid that, and you know, omega-3s make up most of the fat in our brain.
That's right.
This DHA is found in breast milk, which tells you how important it is. It's important
exactly.
for the development of the baby's brain. And we have this DHA supplement that comes from algae. It's the same algae that fish eat to produce DHA in fish oil.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fantastic little supplement.
Yeah, and my daughter found that taking that DHA supplement was very helpful. And she still takes it faithfully. She takes 2 or 3 each day.
Yeah.
DHA is such an important fat for learning and memory. The other struggle my daughter had as a result of her ADHD was sleeping.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It was especially hard to sleep when she was on stimulant medications. And she's been off the medications for several years now. However, if she does have trouble sleeping, she finds magnesium glycinate to be very helpful. So she also takes a magnesium glycinate on occasion for anxiety when she is having a little bit of anxiety in a crazy work day. So
interesting. So both
is.
Of those supplements are
she
kind
has
of
found
helpful.
Both of those very, very helpful.
The DHA, magnesium glycinate.
And magnesium glycinate before bed. And it's time for our next break.
It sure is.
So you are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. I invite you to join Angela and myself on Saturday, March 17th, for the Food Connection to ADHD seminar. Both Angela and I have children with ADHD. We understand the benefits of a clean diet, but we also understand the struggles parents face. My daughter loved red licorice, but now it became very clear how irritating it was to her brain.
Yeah.
So seriously, we understand the struggles and can give you some workable tips. Call 651-699-3438 or go online to weightandwellness.com and sign up. And we would love to work with you.
I also want to reiterate that if you've got questions for us today about ADHD, call us in the studio. Our number here, I believe this is the correct number, is 651-641-1071. We'll be right back.
There are some things we wish for you. To do what everyone else can do. Hop in your car, go to work, slip right into a movie seat. Now there's a perk. Buy cute jeans right off the rack. Dance at the next wedding to Love Shack. Play tag with your kids and hear them say, "That was the most awesomest day." Walk your dog, jog, or both just because you can. Comfortably fly coach all the way to Japan. Be there on graduation day. Especially if it's yours and you got your MBA. Meet your greatest love and ride off into the sun. This is your life. Go live it. You've only got one.
If you think you've tried everything to lose the weight that's keeping you from your best life, think again. Learn the new science of weight loss in the Nutrition for Weight Loss program at Nutritional Weight and Wellness, on-site or online.
You can do this. We'll help you. You're not alone. This is a promise, not just a poem.
Join us at weightandwellness.com.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. More than 100 million people have diabetes or pre-diabetes. You know, and many people with pre-diabetes don't even know they have it. So are your glucose numbers a little high, higher than they should be? Maybe your A1C is above normal. Well, I invite you to tune in next Saturday, March 10th, to hear Cassie and Shelby discuss the food solution to pre-diabetes. Just understanding that one Rice Krispie bar has about 20 teaspoons of sugar in it is mind-blowing. And sometimes learning that 2 cups of most cereals turn into about 20 teaspoons of sugar is eye-opening to many, especially when they hear that even the heart-healthy cereals turn into a lot of sugar.
Yeah, they do.
Most people don't realize this. So next week's podcast would be a great podcast to share with your family and friends. I hope you tune in. So while we were at break, we had a couple callers who didn't want to stay online, and one of them was interested in learning more about DHA, the supplement we just spoke about, that's made from algae, the algae that fish eat to create the DHA. So I usually suggest taking 200 milligrams of DHA, that's one little gel cap. I suggest for clients with ADHD to take it usually in the morning. I think sometimes it's a little stimulating. And I would take at least 3 of them and maybe more. So I always suggest taking these oily gel caps with food so that it doesn't upset your stomach. But I've never heard that this particular one does upset your stomach the way fish oil might. And the other thing that this caller wanted to know was why is DHA helpful? Well, remember the brain is made up of largely fat. 60 to 70% of the brain is fat. And this particular fat, the DHA, helps your brain absorb the dopamine, the kind of missing neurotransmitter for those with ADHD. So it's a super, super important supplement. You know, we had another caller who wanted to know about red licorice.
That's right.
Why don't you talk about
You know, in one of our classes we talk about a bag of licorice being 40 teaspoons of sugar. And a lot of times people go through a bag of licorice on a road trip or during a movie or something like that. But that licorice has a lot of sugar in it. Even if you just eat a few pieces, it is still pure sugar. You know, it's low fat, so people think it's a healthy snack, but it really is not because it's pure sugar. But it also has, we're going to talk a little later about food dye and food coloring and how damaging that can be for the brain. And it has that red dye in it. So it really is not helpful for the brain at all.
Does licorice also have gluten occasionally?
I think some does.
So, and sometimes gluten is an irritant for those who have ADHD. So, before we went to break, you were talking about your daughter's story and that DHA. And
DHA was so helpful for her.
And the importance of magnesium glycinate.
Magnesium,
for to help her sleep. Relaxing her and for sleep. But really, most importantly, if you've got ADHD or maybe you're a parent of a child with ADHD, what can you do to change your diet or to help them change their diet today? What can you do? I know that probably you're thinking if you're an adult, you're pretty resistant. And if you're a child, you're probably kicking and screaming. And it might be a worrisome thought as you try to examine, well, how can I possibly give up my favorite foods? How do I give up my pizza and soda? How do I stop having that glazed donut when I have my coffee? Or I can't imagine to a moving theater without getting my popcorn and dots. It's really, it's a lot to consider. I understand that. But here's a different take. Maybe you'd be willing to gather some information for yourself. Maybe you'd be willing to eat clean and try a clean diet for just 6 weeks, just to determine if it's helpful to you. We're going to give you some guidelines today, but the best solution might be to take this seminar, the Food Connection to ADHD Seminar. It's being offered on Saturday, March 17th from 9:30 to 1 at our Maple Grove office. And both Joanne and Angela will be teaching it. Both of them have children with ADHD, and they've changed their children's nutrition, which changed their children's behavior and the outcome of their children's lives. It's so important to get nutrition therapy treatment for ADHD. So you've got a better life outcome. Remember, I think I stated this earlier, that 52% of people with untreated ADHD often abuse alcohol and drugs. Mm-hmm. That's not a good outcome.
It's not.
We need better life outcomes for those struggling with ADHD. And it all starts with what you put in your mouth.
That's right. So I hope to see many of you at the ADHD seminar. So we're going to talk about step one, get the sugar and the processed carbs out of the diet. You know, a lot of times people say, well, I don't eat much sugar. They don't realize how much sugar is in those processed foods. So no more granola bars. They have nearly 7 teaspoons of sugar in them. Mm. Rice Krispie bars, 81 grams of carbs, or 20 teaspoons of sugar. No more of those big bags of licorice we talked about with the red dye 40. No more pizza with fake cheese, high fructose corn syrup, pizza sauce. Unbelievable. Corn syrup is in pizza sauce.
Yeah.
Right. And nitrate-filled pepperoni and sausage. No more bowls of cereal, such as Fruit Loops, Lucky Charms. They're full of sugar and artificial colors. But, you know, as Kate said earlier, even those heart-healthy cereals actually turn into a lot of sugar. 2 cups or a bowl full of most cereal turns into about 20 teaspoons of sugar.
And, you know, so many of these foods are foods that we had been sort of, I don't know if this is the right word, trained to eat because they were fat-free or low-fat, you know, which was erroneous information.
Right.
We actually need fat very much, and especially for our brains.
But it was a very common way of eating for 50 years.
And so unlearning that can be a challenge
sometimes.
So that's what we got to kind of remove from our repertoire of foods. But now, what should we eat? So I always look at good fats. Good fats are extremely beneficial for those with ADHD. Our brains are made up of 60 to 70% fat. That's the healthy fats. So it only makes sense that you include at least a tablespoon of fat with each meal and also every snack. You've got to include fat there too. You know, many of our listeners know I just love fat. I love butter, and I love that coconut oil and olive oil. I love even some bacon fat.
Mm-hmm.
But your brain and your blood sugar balance need good fat to function. Your brain needs that fat, as you had mentioned or I had mentioned, to help you absorb some of that dopamine.
Right.
Your blood sugar is affected by fat because fat will help it. Your blood sugar stays stable and not drop so drastically. Mm-hmm. So throw away the cereal. Start your day with some nitrate-free bacon, eggs cooked in butter, some organic hash browns. Why don't you put some really attractive strips of red pepper on the side?
Sounds good.
Yeah. But I also want to tell you that if you or maybe your child doesn't like eggs, then, you know, maybe making an appointment with one of us nutritionists to help you personalize your menu would be helpful, because your brain actually needs these beneficial fats. You need to avoid those refined man-made fats. You need to avoid the trans fats, the hydrogenated fats.
That's right. And our brains also need protein. Eggs, beef, pork, salmon, turkey, and chicken. My daughter noticed protein really helped her brain. She loves nitrate-free bacon and eggs. And protein-rich foods are used by the body to make those neurotransmitters such as dopamine, the chemicals released by our brain cells to communicate with each other.
So like protein makes that dopamine?
Protein makes that dopamine actually work in your body. So ask yourself, how can I plan out my menu to get 3 to 6 ounces of protein 4 to 5 times a day?
That might sound like a daunting task.
That sounds like a lot. And figuring out that menu can be difficult, but I always tell people, rather than thinking about what you can't eat, let's think about what you can eat.
I agree.
And try to put all those wonderful foods on your menu, and then there's not really much room left over to worry about the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So figuring out a balanced menu can be difficult, but that's our job. That's what we can help you with. If your child hates salmon, we will substitute a different protein. The beneficial fat and the protein are very critical to reduce those ADH symptoms.
Yep.
So it's time for another break. You are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. We are discussing the food answer to ADHD. Have you noticed there are so many different diets being recommended? We've all heard of the paleo diet.
Yep.
The low-carb diet. Mm-hmm. The low-fat diet. The mm-hmm. plant-based diet. It can be so confusing. We at Nutritional Weight and Wellness believe the Weight and Wellness Plan offers the best eating plan and solution for best health results. It's a balanced eating plan with real food that gives people real results. It's a plan that is based on blood sugar control to increase energy and decrease cravings. And if you have questions for us today, please call us here in the studio at 651-641-1071.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. You know, the Weight and Wellness Plan is all about eating real food in balance. This plan helps with weight loss. It's going to help with your cravings. It reduces inflammation. Many people who start eating this way talk about, oh, that pain in my knee is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Helps with pre-diabetes. The Weight and Wellness way of eating creates more energy. And boy, do you see that right away.
Right.
This plan can manage your cholesterol, reduce the joint pain, improve your moods, improve your digestive disorders, and so much more. It's a life plan. It's an eating plan you can follow for life that will continually benefit your health. Curious? Want to learn a little bit more? Why don't you call our office at 651-699-3438. We're offering the Weight and Wellness series starting the week of March 19th in three convenient locations. So if you want to sign up, again, call our office at 651-699-3438 for more information, or you can read the description on our website, weightandwellness.com.
It's a great class.
It is a wonderful class.
It is. So we had a caller, while we were on break, and didn't want to talk, but she had a question about cream of wheat.
Is it a healthy breakfast?
Is it a healthy breakfast? And we always used to think, I remember when I was growing up, oatmeal and cream of wheat were considered a very healthy breakfast because mm-hmm. they were warm.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, one of the big problems with those breakfasts is, first of all, you usually eat too many carbohydrates because the serving size, if you're eating only that, gets larger,
yep.
too large, should be only a half a cup.
After
it's cooked, and people are always like, ooh, clarifying that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the other problem is there's no protein there.
Right.
There's no protein there. So protein and fat is what we need to help balance our blood sugar.
Yeah.
The other piece of that is that many people, especially people with ADHD, tend to be gluten sensitive.
Which wheat is.
And wheat is, in cream of wheat is a gluten grain. But even oats can be cross-contaminated mm-hmm. with gluten grains when they're grown in the field. So mm-hmm. that can even be a problem, even
we
oatmeal.
We often recommend not eating either wheat or barley or oats or rye.
Yes,
so
exactly.
So those are two things. The other thing is that when you eat cream of wheat, you usually add sugar. So there's sugar.
There's even more sugar. That's right.
But to, your point, there's no protein. There's just no protein.
Exactly.
Before we went to break, we were also talking about the need for fat and protein for those who have ADHD. Very important for their brains.
Right.
The other thing that I find when working with someone with ADHD is that they really need to sit down with their nutritionist about every 3 weeks to help them stay on track.
That's right.
Otherwise, things like the pastry case is going to be tempting. They'll be thinking, I want to have that glazed donut, or, mm-hmm. oh boy, that apple fritter, that huge, giant apple fritter looks delicious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, changing your diet is a process.
It is.
It doesn't happen overnight. It's ongoing, and you need support. I'm reminded of a client of mine, one that I've had for many years, 5 years, and she has ADHD, among other things. And this last year, she decided to change her appointment frequency. She decided she was going to make a very big commitment to her health. And so now she sees me every 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's made a huge difference
that
in
does.
Her progress.
That does.
She's been able to stay on the eating plan. She's been able to take her supplements, which mm-hmm. has been a challenge for her in the past. But another thing that has helped her is because she has ADHD and getting too many things done is a challenge,
mm-hmm.
she's decided to do phone consults with me as opposed to driving to see me. So it's one mm-hmm. less thing she has to do.
Right.
And she's become much more successful and has seen great improvement in her mood and her ability to focus and stay on task.
To stay on track. That's great. That's a great success story.
I know.
That's great. And I think many of us have noticed a change in the behavior of our kids or our grandkids after they've chowed down on that Halloween candy or coming
oh,
up
yes.
to Easter candy.
Well, yes.
My daughter always laughs about this candy scene because she always talks about how my son would have his Halloween candy and it would be sitting in his closet for 3 months or
yes.
so, and he would pick away at it. And she said mine was gone in a week. She always, mine was gone in a week.
Ooh.
It was clearly, and then she felt really bad about that. But, you know, it was just that impulse.
Yep.
That impulse and knowing it's there. And some people have that.
Mm-hmm.
Sugar and high fructose corn syrup snacks are so stressful on children's brains. Several studies suggest that kids with ADHD become hyperactive when they consume sugar. So remember just how much sugar is in that bowl of cereal. We've been talking about that
mm-hmm.
today. Maybe you give your first grader a bowl of cereal before he or she gets on the bus in the morning. So an average of 20 teaspoons of sugar already in that little person
yeah.
before they even start school. In fact, one study reported in the Journal of Pediatrics found the more sugar hyperactive children consume, the more restless and destructive they became. And another study found high sugar diets increased the lack of focus and attention in some children.
I've seen, you've seen
we've
that study.
All seen that.
Yeah. I mean, intellectually, we know that sugar and high fructose corn syrup and additives like food coloring are all really a problem. But many of the children and adults with ADHD that we see also have problems, and we have alluded to this,
mm-hmm.
digesting wheat and gluten mm-hmm. products.
Mm-hmm.
These food, or the gluten products, those that contain wheat, barley, oats, or rye, they often affect our brains as well as our digestion. So that means the bread and the Pop-Tarts and the cookies and the cakes and the pasta
mm-hmm.
can be a problem.
Yes.
If you've got ADHD.
Definitely.
And frequently, dairy products are also a problem because they mm-hmm. cause irritation to the intestinal tract, but also to your brain.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, you know, how do we get behind this food-focused treatment plan for ADHD?
That's right. And parents have a hard time, too.
Mm.
They try hard, but
they
often...
do.
When it comes to the treats at school, they don't want their child to feel left out. So they might give in. Hell, they might have the treats.
Mm-hmm.
They might say it's only once or twice a week. But my response is always, if you knew those treats contained ingredients that act like a poison in these kids,
mm-hmm.
then you might think differently. You may not want them to have them. And you might need to send an alternative along for them. Some of
Good
our foods,
point, Joanne.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Some of our foods today are just not healthy. They can often fall into that poison category for a children's brain.
So for some kids, the gluten and the dairy, the food dye, they act like poisons in their brain.
Mm-hmm.
And changing their diet and adopting a food-focused plan takes a lot more work, a lot more commitment, and a desire to be in charge of your own health. But the results are completely worth it.
They really are. You can see such a wonderful turnaround. So let's look at some of the science concerning food additives. A study published in 2004 in the Journal of Developmental and Behavioral Pediatrics found that artificial food colors had an enormous effect on focus and concentration.
And it looks
like it's time to wrap up.
Yes.
Our goal at Nutritional Weight and Wellness is to help each and every person experience better health through eating real food. It's a simple yet powerful message. Eating food is life-changing. So thank you for listening. It's been great being on here today with you, Kate.
I agree, Joanne. We've had a great time. And
I hope
people have been inspired by your daughter's story.
I hope so, too.
It was very moving. Changing her diet changed her ADHD.
Absolutely.
Changed her life.
So all of you have a great day.
Thanks for listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. If you enjoy this podcast, please share your favorite episodes with a friend or leave a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or iHeartRadio. The content and opinions expressed are those of the hosts or presenters. They are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease. Product statements have not been evaluated by the FDA.